We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Man, I got some awesome news today, and I'm really thrilled to share it with you guys because you guys can rejoice with me. I actually found out I'm getting an inheritance. Yeah. I just found out, actually, my dad's a cattle farmer, and the cattle business is really good. He's got 1,000 hills of cattle, and he said I can have them all. So I'm feeling generous. You guys can have some tonight. Some of you guys are just clicking with that. So it's a good day for cattle business. Amen. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Bon, I'm just so excited. I'm so excited. Man, I'm just sitting in the back, and like the Lord is just putting this message on my heart that I'm about to share with you guys, and I'm just like so thrilled to be able to share it with you guys. I love God so much, and I know what God's done in my heart is going to impact you guys because I heard other people preach about God, and when I met him, I started to fall in love with him more and more and more and more and more and more. And when Max finds out his dad is real rich, he's going to be really excited too. So right now he just wants squeezy pouches and mums. Food. That's what he does. If you guys know sign language, that means food. This is what he knows, more and food. Those are the two things that he knows. Amen. More food. That's what we should all be saying in the spirit tonight. All right, everybody go more food. Amen. God, more food in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're going to have fun tonight. Man, one of the biggest lies that the devil has ever shared with unbelievers is that being a Christian is boring. If you didn't realize it last night, I was having a great time last night. I highly encourage you guys to go to riverrochester.com, and the message I'm sure will be up sometime relatively soon. I know the guy who does the website, he's really anointed, and he's also very busy too. So he'll get it up sometime by the end of 2017. So, no, I'm just kidding. He does it real quick. I think he already did the Wednesday. I'm just picking on you, bro. He actually woke up at 5 o'clock, probably earlier than that, 4:30, to meet with me this morning, so I appreciate you so much. Man, I'll tell you, you guys have phenomenal people. I know that you know it already. You guys have some of the best people I've ever met before, man. They're awesome. Amen. Well, I'm going to just read some scripture to you guys. I'm actually going to share with you. I don't want to say I was heartbroken. I mean, I was still really happy because I'm a happy guy. But I read something today on Facebook that just like, you ever read something from another Christian like posting about the things of God and you're just like, just kind of like lets a little bit of air out. You know, I'm still flying high in my hot air balloon, but it was just like, it was a little bit of a downer. And they were just talking about how like the tithe is part of the old covenant law and that we're not under this bondage to be able to give under this law. And I'm not going to sit here and like scripturally dissect whether the tithe is, you know, whether we're under bondage to give the tithe. I just thought to myself, it's like, man, I don't think anybody who tithed and loved God ever felt like the tithe was a bondage. Like, and it like hurt my heart so much, and it had all these people underneath it saying like, amen, we're set free from the law, we don't have to tithe. And I'm thinking to myself like, man, I've been forgiven a whole bunch. Like, I love God a whole lot, and I want to give him absolutely everything I have to give. I don't want to withhold one penny from God. I want to give him everything that he requires. I'm not looking for ways to give God less. I'm asking for God to increase me. I'm asking for God to enlarge my territory. I'm asking for God to extend my tent post so that way I can receive more, so I can honor him with more. And, you know, I really tried not to be pugnacious about it, and I just put a comment on it. I don't really remember what I said, but I was so grieved in the spirit that Christians have this heart attitude. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I should really just be loving, and maybe they've just experienced ministries that really just try to, you know, twist and zap and pull money out of people. But, and maybe I'm just, you know, super blessed that most of the ministries that I've been around, they've just actually really loved God. And that when they taught on giving and when they taught on offering, that it was actually a biblical standpoint of that our gift is an honor to God. And, you know, I just said a couple things, and I just shared my testimony, how God had increased me. And it just, you know, it just really struck a chord in my heart. And I thought to myself, it's like, you know, 10%, you know, if what we had in the old covenant was good, that God would open up the windows of heaven, that he would rebuke the devourer, and it was a worse covenant, and he required 10%. If God increased what he gave us in the new covenant, why would we decrease what we give God in the new covenant? And I'm not putting any religious bondage on you at all tonight or anything like that, so don't misunderstand me. But surely if God has given us access to more, that means we have access to more to give back to him. If you have your Bibles, why don't you go ahead and turn it to, oh my gosh, Acts chapter 10. I love God, man. I love God, and I love God with my money. Because the Bible says that we shouldn't love in word only, but we should love in deed. I love God. I love God. I love God. I want people to be around me and see my lifestyle and see that I love God. You see, my money is an expression of my lifestyle because we work and we earn money. You know, the Bible says that if we don't work, that we don't eat. So our money is like this barter system that we work to get money, but that money represents, and what I do with that money represents my heart. It represents where my priorities are. And you can see the love I have for God by what I do for my money and how freely I desire it. And I'm not saying look at me, but I'm saying God touched me. And when God touches you, and when he touches you tonight, it's going to be evident in what you do with your money. Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read a couple verses, verse 2 through verse 4. This is talking, actually I'll start in verse 1. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. So it shows right here in the Word of God that this man was a God-fearing man, and he gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of the Lord coming toward him, and the angel said, Cornelius. And Cornelius stared at him in terror, in awe. And he said, what is it, sir? And the angel replied, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have been received as an offering. And so often, and even I preached it last night, and I know that our finances are definitely a link to the financial economy of God, but we also need to balance this in perspective that our financial gifts are also an offering to God. They're a sacrifice. It is just like in the Old Testament, killing a bull or killing a goat. It is a representation of a gift that we offer God, and it's to be treated as holy. The Bible says in the book of Numbers in 18:29, it says, be sure to give the Lord the best portions of the gifts given to you. Our finances and our gifts is a praise offering and a worship offering to God. It shows that we recognize him as Lord. When we take our money and we take our finances, you see, our money, like I was saying before, it represents our time, it represents our effort, it represents our energy, it represents our shelter, it represents our transportation, it represents how we live in this world. And when we offer it to an offering as God, it says, God, I take all that I have in this world to live, and I put you as supreme above that. I place you as supreme above my finances, and I recognize that my finances are not my source of my income. My finances, my job, are not my source to feed my family. My finances are not my source to meet my personal needs. God, I'm declaring you as Lord over my life. You see, the world worships finances. The world worships financially successful people. It is like the goal of every person to be, not us in here, but of most worldly people to be rich. And the only reason they would say, no, I don't want to be rich, is because they've given up on their own personal dreams. But if you prodded into the heart of people, they would tell you, yes, I would like to have financially more than enough in life. Nobody desires to be poor. And when we place an offering before God, we are showing God, we are recognizing Him as Lord as our life. When we put God first in our finances, it shows that our love is not merely in words, but is in demonstration, and we place Him as Lord in our life. And as a church, not you guys, I mean, I'm filled with a radical church here that loves God, that is on fire for the things of God. But as a church as a whole, if you meet Christians that are out there, an offering is just something that they do as an afterthought. They leave the building, they place something in the bucket by the door or in the box by the door. Or the offering plates come down and it's just, hey, let me just give this, or I can afford to give this, or I've got a $10 bill in my pocket or a $20 bill in my pocket. And they've totally disconnected the fact that their offering is worship to God. When we present an offering, we declare Him worthy. You know, you see, like when you go, like we bought lunch today at Wegmans because it was a good lunch. Everybody said amen from New York. And I said, when I paid the bill, they told me this and this and this and this is the total. And I deemed that meal worthy of the money that I spent on it. I said, this is what the bill showed, and I'd already made a decision ahead of time that whatever that was going to show me at the end of it is, I said, that's worthy of my money. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And your money, the finances that you give, is in direct correlation to how much worth you feel like God has. Now look, I'm not talking about the amount, because the amount differs for all of us. You know, $100 could be a lot to one person and it could be nothing to another person. I'm talking about in comparison to what you have, in comparison to what you make, what you give and what you show God and what you give is in direct correlation to what He is worth in your life. And that's why where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. And that's why they say is that, you know, I can tell you how much you love God by looking at your bank balance, by looking at where your finances go. Because you, what you believe in is what you put your finances in. You believe food is important? I can look through your bank accounts and I can tell you all y'all feel like food is pretty important for your life. Y'all feel like shelter is important? I could look through your finances and I can show you that you think shelter is pretty important. And I know this is kind of like a heavy message and last night, but I just feel like this weight of God, that it's our responsibility to honor God with our finances, to show that He is worthy with our finances. So many times I've seen the direct correlation to the move of revival in somebody's heart to their willingness to give in their finances. And people that are unwilling to break free in their finances are generally people that are unwilling to break free into revival. Because they're saying, God, you can have most areas in my life. And you can have most of my money. But there's just some of my money that you can't touch. And it's when we allow our hearts to be broken before God, when we allow our hearts to say to God that you are worthy, God, you have access to it all. I remember I was in Fort Worth, Texas, right before I met my wife. She was flirting so hard with me, guys, I'm telling you. I have the microphone so I can tell you how the story really went. I'm just kidding. And I remember one night, and this is like after I had done sales in my first year, so actually in between my first and second year in Bible college, and I had made that year, it was July that year, I had made and spent $50,000 already by the time June came around. I think that was June was when that conference was, July. And actually, I hadn't even been working for like 2.5 months, so in between January and May, I had already made $50,000 and spent $50,000 in that year at 20 years old or whatever I was. And I remember just being at the altar in Calvary Cathedral, and I had a nickel in my pocket. and my sister was using my car and basically paying the car payment on my car for me. It was a blessing to her and a blessing to me. And I remember being at that altar, and I had this nickel in my hand, and I didn't feel like God was trying to convince me to give him my nickel. I didn't feel like I was under a religious bondage to give God that nickel that I had. But I remember my heart being broken. I can remember that red carpet. I can remember that dark brown paneled wall. I can remember the baptistry up top. And I remember holding the nickel in my hand saying, God, it is such an honor to give you my finances, Father. If I had more, I would give you more, God. It is such an honor to give this to you. And I remember weeping and crying as I went in there. And that offering to me was such a special offering because it was an offering where my heart was broken before God. And I believe that God looked down on me at that moment, and he knew that whatever amount of finances that he placed in my hand, that he knew I would give him the best of the gifts that I had given to me. And we have to live out of that place as God-worshipping, power-filled believers where we are ready to give God everything that he asks for. And I never will forget the joy that it was to sow that nickel. People would have thought I put a $1 million check in the offering. But it was everything that I had. And when we sow our finances, we declare and establish ourselves as advancers of the kingdom of God. You see, in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, remember the Lord your God. He gives you power to create wealth. Why? That we may establish his covenant. You see, when God gives us the power to create wealth and we have that wealth is designed to establish his covenant here on this earth. And our purpose in having these finances and having the ability to create wealth is to establish the kingdom of God. Man, and I was just thinking about this. I was thinking about when Mary had broken the alabaster box. Two things I thought about this that was pretty interesting. Is that when Mary had broken the alabaster box, the alabaster box was said to be roughly, what, 1 year's salary, right? The interesting part, and you don't hear this in most giving messages, but the interesting, and you'll appreciate this, the interesting part was that she actually had to save enough to buy something that was worth a whole year's salary. So that means up until then, she hadn't given away everything that she had. She actually had to use some stewardship principles to save enough to give a whole year's salary. And she had this alabaster box, and she broke it over Jesus' feet, and she poured it over him. And, you know, Judas said what he said, and Jesus said that she needed to do this to prepare him for his burial. And that breaking of the alabaster box, it was a necessary step on his path to the cross. It was necessary. That's why it says in that scripture, it says everywhere the gospel is preached, the story of this woman will be told. That offering was necessary for him to go to the cross. It was ordained by heaven that this woman would give an offering to break it over Jesus. That way it would prepare him for the cross. And I want you to know tonight that the offering that you give is necessary to prepare him for his return. Because every gift that we give shows that we are heart invested in the advancement of the kingdom of God. And that alabaster box that Mary broke all those years ago is no more and no less important than the offering that you give tonight. For just as that offering had prepared him for his burial, your offering prepares for his return. And I'm telling you, if we could draw a parallel of when Jesus went to the garden to the cross versus when Jesus is going to come back now to the earth, He is beyond the garden. He is, the cross is being carried. His return is nigh. And our gift that we give is preparing for his return. And I sense the power of God in here tonight to break people's hearts to honor God with their gifts. Where your gift doesn't become about getting something from God, but simply honoring God. And when you get to that place of complete abandonment, when you get to that place where everything that you have is placed under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you'll watch. God will breathe on everything you have. If everyone just close your eyes right now. Father, I thank you for these people here tonight. And I sense the presence of God calling people to financial abandonment. I'm not talking about idiocy with your money. I'm talking about where you genuinely lay down every penny that you have and say, God, whatever you desire to be seed is seed. Whatever you desire to be bread is bread. And I will honor you.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.